WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Okay, good. There we go. Priority mail. I'm on a roll here lately, so don't stop me. Actually, when it comes to sermons, I'm exceedingly blessed, and I've never exhausted the line of inspiration that I receive from the Lord to preach here at this church and to share with the community on the radio. It just seems lately that everything I seem to read turns into a sermon. And I'll take that every day of the week. We're in the book of Revelation today. I know you say, wait a minute, we've been in the book of James. Well, I was perusing through a new Bible the other day, and I read something, and something got me stuck here. And I was examining this text here. First, let me explain. Let me explain the letters to the seven churches of the book of Revelation. Jesus dictated seven letters to the Apostle John for him to deliver to the messenger or pastor of all seven of these churches. Now, when you read in the book of Revelation and it says to the angel of the church, you got to understand angel is the word angelos. And the word really means messenger. So I believe Jesus is talking to the pastor of the church, not some invisible angel, okay? Jesus dictated seven letters to the Apostle John for him to deliver to the pastor of all seven of these churches. Notice them here, all here in a circuit. Not the ones in black, but the ones that are in red. Certainly there was more than seven churches in Asia, which must make us stop and reconsider here when we read to the seven churches in Asia, meaning there's more to this text than just its initial literal interpretation. And the Bible I was reading in was this Scofield Bible, probably the number one greatest selling Bible, study Bible of all time. And ever produced and sold. Because Scofield was solid. Jim, you got a Scofield Bible. Carol's got one. Scott's got one. Many of you have probably owned one. If you want one, let me know. I got two at home. I'll bring one in for you. Now, Dr. Scofield believes that these seven churches represent the entire church age from beginning to end. Also, these seven churches represent a different type of church that you might find yourself in. As a matter of fact, you will find yourself in at some point or another in your life. From the loveless church at Ephesus, to the persecuted church at Smyrna, to the dead church in Sardis, to the worldly church of Pergamos, to the blessed church of Philadelphia, to the lukewarm church of Laodicea, to today's church, the corrupt church, the idolatrous church of Thyatira. That's what we're going to look at here today. So imagine, this is the angle, that's why I call this priority mail. Imagine breaking into the pastor's office overnight and you snatch a piece of mail that's on his desk. And it's priority mail from One Gold Street in heaven. I'm sure that's what the address would be, right? Number One, Gold Street. Two, Pastor Paul from the Son of God. Oh, boy. I'd be a little afraid to open that up. You might think we got it right. some 63 years after Jesus conquered sin, death, and the grave, he brought the Apostle John, who was still alive, must have been 90 years old. He brought the Apostle John up into heaven, and he gave him this vision of how the end of the age was going to come about and the end of the world. And he gave John these seven letters to take to these seven churches all in a row, starting here, going up, starting with Ephesus and going up. Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira, Pergamos, Sardis, Philadelphia, and the last church, Laodicea. They're all in a row like that. And he dictated these letters all in a row. So Jesus tells John to write. We're in Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 18. These verses are on the handout. Might be using a smorgasbord of more than one translation. Now, to the angel of the church at Thyatira. Remember, angel is angelos, messenger, the speaker, whoever it is that gives the message in this church. To the pastor, I'm going to call him a pastor. To the pastor of the church in Thyatira, right? All right, we've broken into this pastor's office. We've opened up his letter, and we're snooping in to see what Jesus, 60 years later, after he died, rose up again, 60 years later, what he thinks about a church that's down here on earth to see how they're doing or not. Everyone with me? Easy to follow, right? This is why I love the New Testament, because it gives us a, you know, he might not have written this to us, but we can glean what the Son of God likes about what you're doing in church and what he doesn't like about what you're doing in church. And you can read later about things that you do that make him want to vomit, he says himself. We'll get to that one. By the way, the church that makes him want to vomit was he called lukewarm. That's a church that's got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Lukewarm. Anyway, that's for another day. Chapter 2, verse 18. To the pastor, the angel of the church in Thyatira, right? These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like a blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Okay, so to each of these messengers, he begins with a wonderful attribute of himself. To every one of these seven, he starts with something about himself. Here, he says he's the Son of God. He describes himself as having eyes like blazing fire and feet like burnished bronze. Now, as we move on, it'll be easy to see how this church ended up with this unfortunate title, the Corrupt Church. As with all seven of these letters, he starts with some encouragement for the things that they're doing right. Okay, to every church, he starts with what they're doing right. Verse 19, I know your deeds, your love, and your faith, and your servants, and your hupomone, perseverance, and that you're now doing more than you did at first. All right, he commends them for five things. Number one, their love. Of course, that's the greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, by the way, to get the greatest commandment wrong would be what? The greatest transgression. So R.C. Sproul, I heard him say that, and it about floored me one day. Brought me to my knees. The greatest transgression known to man is not to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Naturally, it would have to be the opposite of the greatest. So their love. Number two, he commends them for their faith. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. I love the way there's nothing else after that. Is. Fill in the blank. He who comes to God must believe that he is. What's your dot, dot, dot? You've got to have faith when you approach God. Number three, commends them for their service. That is, what are you doing for Jesus Christ while he's gone on this long journey? What are you doing for him? Number four, he commends them for their perseverance. You guys, many times have heard me preach on this. Let's call this spiritual fortitude. Spiritual fortitude. And number five, he commends them for improving, for doing better than they were before. So I got to be thinking, what would be our list here at the church? What would be our list that the Son of God would commend us for? And I come up with five. Number one, I think he would commend us for our love for him and for others. It's one of the greatest things, one of the things I hear from visitors all the time is how the people of this church make someone feel when they're visiting here. This is the most friendliest, loving church I've ever known and have ever seen in my entire life. You're family when you come in here. We love on you in here. We miss you when you're not here. You might get a phone call. Because we're that kind of church here. So, our love for him and others. Number two, what would be on the list for commending us, I would hope. This one comes courtesy of my wife. Seeking his face. I believe that. He would commend us for seeking his face. Number three, I think he would commend us for our faith. Certainly faithful to his word, right? Are we or are we not faithful to the word of God in this church? At all costs, more than anything. Maybe that would be number one. Or maybe the next one would be number one. I think he would commend us for feeding the poor here at this church. What do you think about that? Do we do an honorable job in the eyes of God of doing what we can to feed the people here that don't have a loaf of bread? I think so. Number five on this list, he would commend us for not tolerating evil. And number six, having such a nice pastor. Yeah, I got one fan, two. Three. An associate pastor. That's right. I would only hope. But I'll tell you what we do have for us. And that is when we hear God tell us we need to do something better, we will. When he says this is where you drop the ball, we'll be over here on this altar here. Because we all have got things that we've missed that once we hear that we're doing it wrong, just that's all I ever ask God is just show me. Show me where I'm doing it wrong so I can change it right down here. Or in my car, or in my bed, or in the shower. I've made many things right in the shower. Well, it seems like that's where he speaks to me many times. Right? It's all I ever ask. And I think that's what he's looking for. I think you'd call that a tender heart. One that's open to correction. God says, this is what these are the things you're doing. Just show me what they are so I can fix them. And they were the things I was doing wrong. Not anymore. Okay. Now, verse 20 starts with the word nevertheless. Nevertheless, I've got this against you. Uh-oh. You knew it was coming, right? There's got to be something here on this list. Remember, this is the corrupt church we're looking at. So you've opened up this pastor's mail while he was at his Sonny's eating lunch. You've snuck into his office. You opened it up and you look, and Jesus says to you, I've got this against you. What does it say? You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. Notice no one else calls her one. She only calls herself a prophet. No one else does. It ought to be easy to tell the difference, especially today when there's no need for a prophet anymore. A prophet spoke the word of God before it was written in a holy book and given to the church. We now have got that book. I know the word of God. Sensationalism, Dennis? That's right. That's what we believe here. We've got the word of God made more sure. That's what we follow. It's already down. It's finished. It's complete. I once heard someone say, if it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, then it's not new. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel. Jesus goes on. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. All right, there's the charge against this church. And against the idolatrous church of every age, no matter where you go. By corrupt teaching, she deceives the people in the church to commit sexual sins and to eat polluted foods. Now, perhaps that's not that difficult to do. Since this church didn't have the completed word of God yet to follow, they were more easily deceived. They followed a feel-good gospel rather than the word of God. They listened to a corrupt woman promoting illicit sex. And they put up with it. Reminds me of Abraham in the Old Testament. His wife was upset she couldn't get pregnant. So she gave her young, pretty maid to Abraham to marry. And Abraham said, seems like the rule of God to me. It's so easy to corrupt and deceive. Now let's see Jesus' response to the people. That is the pastor and those in charge. Let's see what he's going to do to the people of this church for allowing sexual immorality into the church and blaming God for approving it. Verse 21, Jesus speaking. I gave her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So there's the first response. Who cares? Who cares? Listen to this, Proverbs 30, verse 20. This is the way of the adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. Proverbs 2:16. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. All right, so Jesus says first that the woman refuses to make it right. Next step when this happens, verse 22. I need some more water here. Verse 22. He says, I will cast her on a sick bed or a bed of suffering. And I will make, all right, who's speaking here? Who is speaking? Jesus is speaking. He says, I will make, all right, I will cast her. That's this Jezebel woman, the woman in this church that's corrupt in this church. I will cast her onto a sick bed, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. Notice that. That Jesus holds the church and the pastor responsible for the woman who's there and deceiving and misleading the people. Unless they repent of her ways. He goes on, I will strike her children dead. You know, I think you would have been better off going with that pastor to Sonny's instead of breaking into his office. Who wants to read this? Maybe you say, no, Jesus would never do that today. This was 60 years after. Remember what God said, those who approach me must regard me as holy. You don't play these kind of games in the church. And the purpose of doing this is to see what happens to churches that do play this kind of games in it. Not every church is as wonderful as ours. But that's true, isn't it? I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. Boy, isn't that the truth? But you can just see that one on CNN, huh? First Baptist Church of Schenectady had 687 people dead today who wouldn't stop going to Henrietta's Bible study class. And you say, oh, that could never happen. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds. And I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Actually, the Greek word here for minds is the word for guts. And the Greek word for intestines. Like that old saying, you know, I had a gut feeling about this. Jesus is even going to search out your guts. Look what it says. You know, some people claim to be mind readers. Jesus is not only a mind reader, he's a gut reader. And he's a heart reader. Jesus can read your guts. I had a gut feeling. He can know and search your guts. And he can tell whether or not you had a gut feeling about this. Why are you putting up with... He even knows if you had a gut feeling about something. That's how deeply he can search and penetrate your minds and thoughts, minds and hearts, guts. He wants to know whether or not you knew all along this woman was evil and you just stood by and did nothing about it. Or if there was nothing in your guts except pastrami. And this falls here on the pastor and the leaders of the church. Now, here this morning is a valuable lesson for us regarding sickness and death and where it comes from. Once again, we see that not all sickness and not all death, for Satan cannot kill anyone, okay? But not all sickness and not all death comes from the devil. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 27. And yes, we're almost done. This is the text we read for communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
I thank God for the Salvation Army. William Booth started with the poor in London and started the Salvation Army. When William Booth got to be a very old man, they were having a convention of the Salvation Army, and they wanted William Booth to come and speak, and he couldn't come and speak. He was too weak, too old, too feeble, and he was on his sick bed. And so they said, well, would you send us a telegram? Just send us a telegram. And he said, yes, I will. And he sent a one-word telegram, just one word in that telegram. What do you think it was? It was the word others. Others. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Jesus was willing to suffer for the Father. That's what that means. Now, folks, what we need to do today is to get our eyes on the glory of God and begin to love and serve one another.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
You came and broke them down. You broke them down.